It's time for the Baseball Insider. I'm Bill Newell with that guy, Andy Carboni. And Andy, this is the last one of the Red Sox season, so to speak, quote-unquote season, as the season ended on Sunday for them, Monday rather, with the loss to the Houston Astros in the playoff series. And so I guess some reaction to what a tough way to kind of go down and to kind of end the season this year.
It certainly was, Bill. The Red Sox kind of staggered just trying to clinching the American League East Division title, and they come into the series against the favored Houston Astros. First two games of the ALDS, Red Sox just blown out by scores of 8-2, really weren't in, obviously, any of those two games. Come back to Fenway for Game 3 on Sunday, and they explode for 10 runs. That kind of came out of nowhere. They beat the Astros 10-3, fans feeling pretty good, even though the starting pitching was still not very good for the Red Sox. You come into yesterday's game, and again, the starting pitching was suspect. Rick Porcello only goes three innings, gives up a couple runs. That's pretty much one of the best starts of the series for the Red Sox, and the Red Sox had a lead. Chris Sale comes in, throws 4 2/3 innings for relief. Red Sox were up going into the eighth inning by a score of 3-2, and then Sale gives up his second home run of the series to Astros third baseman Alex Bregman. That tied the score at 3. Next thing you know, the Astros score a couple more runs. One in the eighth, one in the ninth, and Red Sox get a lone run in the bottom of the ninth as Rafael Devers, believe it or not, hit a leadoff inside the park home run in the bottom of the ninth. And really all for naught, Red Sox season comes to an end, and now it's time to look ahead toward next year, kind of recap the problems with what the pitching staff did during the series, lack of power, all kinds of questions. Will the manager be back? It's that time of year. Some people say it's the best time of the year to try to get ready for the next season. What moves will be made, and what will the Red Sox do?
Okay, I don't know about that, but you know, what about Devers, though? That inside-the-park home run that he hit was a classic in the sense that a lot of times when you think of inside-the-park home runs in Fenway Park, you think of that about that ball that goes to down the right field line and curls around the wall out there and goes further on out to right center field. This one hits off the left center field wall, caroms back, and Devers basically had crossed the plate before anyone could really even get a throw off in the outfield. It was incredible. He could have gone 5 bases on that inside the park home run, I think.
He could have gone maybe 6, Bill. I mean, it was really something. I don't know where the right fielder Josh Reddick was backing up that play when George Springer went up against the wall and that ball caromed back toward center field, more toward right center field, the way that the carom came off. But, yeah. You know, Devers obviously not known for his base running ability in terms of speed, but he definitely circled those bases. He was kind of pulling up a little bit as he reached third base. I think he was probably shocked as anyone when he saw the third base coach continuing to wave him on in. You could take a step back and say, geez, maybe he should have just stayed at third. Maybe Red Sox could have got a 2-run homer and won the ball game. But you take the runs when you can get them. Kind of wish Brian Butterfield thought of that a little earlier in the game when he sends Mitch Moreland into home play with 2 outs and a ball hit right to the left fielder. And Moreland from second, he was thrown out by plenty. One of the slowest runners on the team. I don't know what Butterfield was thinking in that situation. That cost the Red Sox a run yesterday. And, of course, the other situation was in the second inning. Red Sox had the bases loaded, no one out, down 2-1. They could not push a run across the plate. And John Farrell ended up getting ejected in that inning as he's trying to defend Dustin Pedroia, who was arguing a ball strike call after Pedroia got called out on strikes. So it was just a tough, tough day at Fenway.
Well, it speaks to what we all knew what would happen with this team without a David Ortiz in the lineup that they depended on so much in the past, is that they just needed that big long ball from time to time, and it just wasn't there for the most part.
It wasn't there all season. I mean, you had some guys hitting 20 home runs here and there, sprinkled in the lineup. I mean, you got to give Hanley Ramirez some credit. He kind of came alive in this series, being one of the Red Sox better hitters. You know, he was consistent throughout the series, getting hits. But again, he should. You know, basically a top home run guy in the mid-20s, and that's certainly not enough to strike a lot of fear in other pitchers opposing the Red Sox without that big presence like an Ortiz or another big bat. And again, the blame there, that simply has to go to Dave Dombrowski. You know, it was pretty obvious what the Red Sox needed going back into the season. Yes, he added Chris Sale, made the trade, made the move, and got another sort of the top pitcher in here. But again, the starting pitching, I mean, you can overlook the lack of bats, but you can also look at the starting pitching. They come into the postseason second year in a row. Starting pitchers can't get out of the second, third inning. I mean, that is a problem. I mean, you can't just come into the playoffs and not have a starting pitcher go, especially your top ones, being able to go 6, 7, 8 innings. And that's what they're there for. I mean, Sale in the opening game went 5 innings, allowed 7 runs. You had Pomerantz game 2, 4 runs in 2 innings. Then they throw Doug Fister out to the Wolves in game 3, gives up 3 runs in an inning and a third. And then, you know, Porcello yesterday, 2 runs over 3. So you got to give Chris Sale some credit for coming in, pitching some solid relief yesterday. And then, of course, David Price had a few outings during the series as well, to keep things quiet for the Astros on the scoreboard. He did a nice job on Sunday, of course, coming in pitching four scoreless innings of relief that really helped the team then. So, you know, hopefully the young players can build upon this and take it to the next level. The, you know, Andrew Benintendi's and the Mookie Betts of the world out there, and if they can add, I don't think it's just one bat this team needs. This team needs two bats. You know, you could look, you need to add another starting pitcher. I don't know what they can do there. It's just, you need some more presence in the clubhouse, I think, is another issue. Obviously, things kind of went off the rails at times this year with the whole Dennis Eckersley-David Price thing. And that was another key thing that was lost with Ortiz leaving the team, that presence in the clubhouse, never mind the lineup. Ortiz would not have had that stuff going on under his watch with some of the griping and bickering going on during the season. So, you know, there's a lot of things, and it's probably going to start with the manager and have to trickle on down, but, you know, Dave Dombrowski has to get a lot of blame here as well.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to just discuss the umpiring for a minute in this last series. It seemed a little odd, you know, to me. I mean, now, the ball that Pedroia got called out on and then Farrell got thrown out of the game, that wasn't that far out, you know what I mean? It was close, unfortunately, but these Astros pitchers had the Sox swinging at bad pitchers because I think, you know, they got some strike calls that were a little questionable or marginal. Maybe it's going both ways. Don't get me wrong here. And I'm not blaming the umps, but it just seems like everything was just a little off in that series. It's almost like you're only at 80% going into that series. I don't know. It just struck me as a lot of little things were going with these umps. I didn't get it myself.
No, I could see where you're coming from on that end. But, you know, looking back at the call third strikes in that second inning to Jackie Bradley Jr. and then with Dustin Pedroia, again, those pitches were close.
Yeah.
And in a situation like that, you have to swing the bat.
Yeah.
You know, your season's on the line. You got the bases loaded. I mean, okay, maybe it's an inch to 2 inches off the corner. Umpire may call that, my friend, and they did. So you got to swing the bat. It's not like the ball was in the other batter's box and the guy's calling a strike. So you got to be aggressive up there and swing the bat. But again, you know, you look at that situation, and I still haven't heard any explanation as to what Brian Butterfield was thinking, sending Mitch Moreland from second base on a base hit, line drive base hit right to the left fielder. I mean, basically, he rounded third. The ball was already heading toward the catcher. There was no chance that he was going to score in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the Red Sox ran into a lot of outs this year. That was one of their calling cards, this aggressive base running. It's one thing to be aggressive, but you had to use some common sense in the mix as well.
Correct, right. I was listening on the radio on that play.
Even in a situation like that.
Yeah, I was listening on the radio when Moreland got thrown out on the plate. I was out at that point. But, it didn't sound like it was a good call on his part. All right, Andy, anything else about this team or before we head out and look around the rest of Major League Baseball?
Well, I guess we still don't know what the injury situation is. That Eduardo Nunez hurt his knee coming back in game one of the series. He barely could get out of the batter's box, his first at bat of the game. We don't know what his situation is. If he's going to need surgery down the road, they've been kind of quiet on his situation going forward. He's a free agent. You know, will he be back or not? That's the question. Again, you have to see the Sox management. You know, the upper echelon guys, your John Henrys of the world, they decide to bring back John Farrell for another year. He does have another year on his contract, so that'll be interesting to see. And then, you know, it's hot stove time already. You got to start getting into it and seeing what they can do to make this team hopefully better, take that next step in 2018.
Finally, a peek at the rest of the series, Andy, around Major League Baseball. Your thoughts on what's playing out here the rest of this week?
Well, just recapping what happened yesterday, Game 4 of the American League Division Series, Yankees and Indians. Yankees take the game 7-3 in the Bronx. That series now tied 2 games apiece. Over in the National League, a pair of Game 3s played yesterday. The Cubs beat the Nationals 2-1 to take a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 of that series being played this afternoon. And then Game 3 of the other National League Division Series saw the Dodgers sweep the Diamondbacks, winning 3-1, taking that series 3-0. Going forward, I think that I still think the Indians will take Game 5 at home on Wednesday night in Cleveland. I think the Cubs will beat the Nationals in this series here. So you're going to have a Cubs and Dodgers NLCS, and then you'll have the Indians and Astros. And I'm going to put my cards down on the Astros. I think it's a nice story that, you know, it's certainly a very talented team. I mean, when you break it down, they're a better team than the Red Sox. You can't argue that. So, you know, I'd like to see the Astros get involved and maybe win something for the first time in their history. Always got to root for the American League, being an American League guy from American League City. And over the National League, I'd like to see the Dodgers get in. They haven't been in the World Series since 1988. We saw enough of the Cubs last year. I don't need to see Theo Epstein celebrating anymore. So that's why I don't want to see Terry Francona celebrating. So I hope the Astros take care of the of the Indians in the ALCS. It would be a heck of a story if the Yankees pull out that series. I don't think it's going to happen, but I certainly don't want the Yankees to win that series if they get onto the ALCS either. So we got to be Houston fans right now, I think, though.
All right, sounds good. Well, Andy, great talking with you, and we'll check back again at some point soon.
Looking forward to it, Bill.
Andy Carbone, our baseball insider. I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.